The next case for argument is 25-1412, Regents of the University of Michigan versus Licha Microsystems. Mr. Tonkovich, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I'm Russell Tonkovich on behalf of the Regents of the University of Michigan. The District Court erred in granting summary judgment because it erred in the construction of the said supercontinuum terms. The District Court erred in its construction for three reasons. One, the construction doesn't make sense as a technical matter, given the claim language. It is contrary to the intrinsic evidence. And the District Court improperly narrowed the claims based on excerpt of the file history without applying the legal standard for disclaimer. I'll start with the claim language. From claim one, said supercontinuum white light pulse exciting the plurality of fluorophores. Exciting has a specific meaning in the claim. It requires a fluorophore to absorb photons, specific wavelength, to go into an excited state. I don't think there's any dispute about that. The District Court's construction, though, is flawed on a technical level. So the District Court held, quote, said supercontinuum language necessarily refers to a supercontinuum white light pulse comprising the entire spectrum of white light as what excites the fluorophores present in the sample. The problem with that is each claim requires a minimum of two fluorophores to be excited. Each fluorophore is excited by a single wavelength of light. So two fluorophores would be excited by two wavelengths of light. So imagine a supercontinuum with 200 wavelengths. If you radiate a sample with two fluorophores, 198 of the wavelengths wouldn't excite anything.
How does this relate to the prosecution history? In the prosecution history, there was prior art that was attempted to be distinguished that had filtering. It had a continuous white light, and there was a filter. And then the argument was made that the present invention uses the entire continuous spectrum of the white light simultaneously as a unique excitation source, and also refers to using the entire continuous spectrum of white light for excitation. Why does that not support the construction here? I mean, it's pretty, I don't think, first of all, I don't think disclaimer is necessarily required for the prosecution history to provide support for a claim construction. So I see that as two different things. But just looking at this language in the prosecution history, why isn't that supportive?
And you're looking at the language from the order?
I'm looking at page A1851 of the appendix.
Okay.
It's in the briefs, you know. The other side quoted it. This is the response to the office action. You had a prior art rejection. You had to get over the prior art rejection. And at JA1850, in order to get over the prior art rejection, you describe what the quote-unquote present invention is. And then you said the present invention uses and claims the entire spectrum of the white light to simultaneously excite all the fluorophores that have excitation spectra covered by the entire white light spectrum, period, end quote.
Sure.
It's pretty clear what the applicant, patent owner, is telling the examiner and the public what the present invention uses and claims, i.e., the entire spectrum of white light.
Sure. So I'm happy to address that. So the first part of that, the present invention uses and claims the entire spectrum of white light. That's referring to the claims were amended in that amendment to specifically add that language. The language of supercontinuum and entire spectrum were added in order to distinguish the light sources in Scott from those in the invention. So Scott had four different lasers that output four individual wavelengths. The examiner in his rejection said that appears to be white light, the four individual wavelengths. So supercontinuum and entire spectrum were added to the claims to clarify the source of the excitation light in the invention is a continuous spectrum, not individual wavelengths. And this is clear if we look in the file history on appendix page 1849.
I don't know why Infernal Technologies doesn't answer this entire case. I understand it's a non-precedential opinion, but it was non-precedential because everything it said and did was so basic and well understood in patent law that it didn't need to be precedential. And there we had observer data and said observer data, and then yet another limitation that said at least a portion of said observer data. That lines up pretty cleanly with your claims, which talk about supercontinuum white light, said supercontinuum white light, and then a portion of said supercontinuum white light. And the reasoning in Infernal Technologies applied here answers the case, and the answer would be an affirm.
So I would respectfully disagree with that. I see Infernal as being an opposite to the facts here. So in Infernal, the issue was that the patentee had accused different sets of data for meeting the observer data and set observer data. And with regard to at least a portion of said observer data, in limitation 1C in that claim, that was a non-overlapping set of data with set observer data. So the antecedent basis was not consistent. Where it is in this case, there's no doubt that the antecedent basis for said supercontinuum is the supercontinuous output by the white light generation system.
Why isn't it true that you want said supercontinuum white light pulse to be understood as a portion of said supercontinuum white light pulse?
Well, I would say fundamentally, and this comes out in the specification as well, is that they were not claiming what reached the sample. That's not what they were claiming. And it is, as you know, I was getting to here, an impossibility for the entire supercontinuum to excite two fluorophores. Right? The idea is...
But it doesn't matter. You're throwing the entire spectrum at the fluorophores. And then whichever wavelengths those happen to get excited at, they will receive those wavelengths from the entire continuum of white light. And then if there's extra leftover wavelengths from the supercontinuum, so be it. But nevertheless, there's this overwhelming entire spectrum of the white light getting thrown at whatever the fluorophores happen to be in the sample.
There is nothing in, I mean, there's... That's not what I read this statement to be saying. We are using an entire spectrum as the source of the excitation light. That's what's being put out there. And the distinction here among EDO is really on the simultaneous. So EDO is doing excitation one wavelength at a time, which is different than the invention, which is doing simultaneous excitation with multiple wavelengths at the same time, which is the basis of the time-resolving detection. So I see the fundamental
distinction. The claim is covering the waterfront by sending the entire spectrum of white light at the sample so that it can simultaneously cover any and all fluorophores to get excited.
But that does not... So I would direct the court back to the specification, I mean, where... We talk specifically about the permissibility of using filters with a white light excitation source.
Oh, I think it's pretty clear that you're talking in the prosecution history about using the entire continuous spectrum without filtering. If, for example, at page A1852, they also say the present invention employs the continuous spectrum for white light for excitation, whereas the prior uses discrete portions.
Yes, that's referring back to, discrete portions referring back to the, to EDO performing excitation one way.
The problem is, again, let me go back to the first sentence, which is on page 1852. You say, by using the entire continuous spectrum without filtering, one can simultaneously excite all the fluorophores that have absorption within the spectrum. And that's how you're distinguishing the prior art. Do you know the sentence I'm talking about? How do you distinguish that sentence?
Well, so So I would distinguish that by saying, first of all, that is, it's not limiting the invention. I think it is a permissive statement. One can do simultaneous excitation, but that is not necessarily required by the claims. I mean, further up in that same paragraph, we're making the distinction that Edo is operating in a frequency domain-based system because it's doing excitation one wavelength at a time, which then allows it to separate the excitation light from the fluorescence in the frequency domain, because you will know the frequency of each, rather than having to do it in the time domain. So we're saying those concepts are clearly different.
What about the sentence at page 1851? In contrast, the present invention does not limit the frequency of the excitation source within the white light spectrum like conventional systems do by using filters or dispersing elements.
Sure. So we will look at that in context. In the preceding paragraph, we are, you know, talking about the nature of fluorescent signals in EDO, the isolated wavelengths, which is the single excitation at a time, and the resolution in the frequency domain rather than the time domain. So when it says, in contrast, present invention does not limit the frequency of the excitation source than the white light spectrum like conventional systems do, that is a reference to the invention not limiting the excitation to one wavelength at a time, like EDO, when you read it in the broader context.
Or EDO is talking about dispersing elements, but there is an additional phrase there by using filters. Why wouldn't the public read that as suggesting that your system doesn't use filters, especially when combined with the language that says, you know, said supercontinuum white light pulse exciting the plurality of fluorophores, where that said supercontinuum white light pulse was earlier defined as comprising an entire spectrum of white light?
Well, I think EDO is using both filters and dispersing elements in there, so I think the distinction over EDO applies there as well. Because the claims are fundamentally claiming the source of the excitation light, not what is reaching the sample. There's no language in the specification at all about the invention relating to what reaches the sample. So they differentiate the invention and the specification over what the source of the white is. For instance, in column 6, they differentiate, I think it's lines 5 to 29, I believe it is. They're differentiating a prior art device based on it having three lasers.
Column 6 lines what? I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's column 6, lines 5 to 29.
Okay. Is there a particular sentence there that is helpful?
Yeah.
Just the idea that filters could be used.
Well, this is the concept. They're distinguishing the invention from the prior art on the basis of it having a single source of excitation light as opposed to multiple lasers. So in that section, it says, in contrast, employing the principles of the present teaching, a single laser source can provide the necessary excitation of different fluorescent biomarkers. And they distinguish the prior art on the same basis in column 7 as well, at lines 32 to 40. Where they say such a multicolor confocal microscope generally requires using multiple lasers for excitation, complicated detection systems. However, the present teachings enable the use of a single excitation source to provide.
So what is the point? What do you think we should take away from this?
Well, I guess the point is the invention, as laid out in the specification, is really about two concepts. One is having a single system that's going to output your excitation light as opposed to multiple different lasers, which simplifies the optical system. And then the time-resolving detector works in conjunction with that, simultaneous excitation.
Why don't we let's hear the other side and we'll retain the rebuttal.
All right.
May it please the Court, Matt Wolf for Leica. Counsel suggested a couple things that I'd like to clear up right off the bat. he suggested that the claims are not claiming what reaches the sample, but as Your Honor read and has stated repeatedly, six times we counted from appendix 1850 to 1853. That's exactly what the patentee does. It explains exactly what reaches the sample. The language, in contrast to the prior art, Ito in particular, the present invention uses and claims the entire spectrum of the white light to simultaneously excite all the fluorophores that have excitation spectra covered by the entire light spectrum. That is, of course, exactly talking about, exactly claiming what reaches the sample. That's the fundamental distinction. Counsel said, secondly, multiple times, Ito only had a single laser or a single wavelength reaching the sample. And the first sentence of Ito suggests that's just not the case. At appendix 1908, column 1, line 1, the present invention relates to a method of and system for analyzing a sample by simultaneously exciting a plurality of fluorescent substances contained in one sample. So simply put, Ito starts with white light and then filters it down to certain multiple wavelengths that excite certain multiple fluorophores, just as the accused system does. And the patentee had to overcome Ito. And what the patentee said is, well, what we do differently is we don't filter it down. We don't start with the whole supercontinuum and then reduce it to three, or in our case, eight individual wavelengths. We do the whole thing all at once. The last thing I'd like to correct is the suggestion early in counsel's statements that all of this was about Scott. And if one just looks at 1848, 1849, 1850 of the appendix, we see quite clearly, first, there was a 102 rejection based on Scott. And Scott didn't start with a whole spectrum. And they say, well, we do start with the whole spectrum. So that gets rid of Scott. But then we turn the page to 1850, and now we're in a whole new set of rejections. Now we're to Ito in light of Fernandez, and all Fernandez added was the time-resolving detector, which isn't really at issue in this case. And everything that Judge Stoll talked about and Judge Chen talked about, those were all statements 1850 and later in the section titled Ito et al. And Fernandez et al., either singly or in combination, failed to teach or suggest each and every element of the claimed invention. They had nothing to do, those statements, with Scott. And just to gild the lily here, at 1852, and making it clear that Scott and Ito were two different discussions, the patentee said, the present invention distinguishes from the method disclosed by Ito not only by using the time-resolved fluorescent measure, but also by using a different excitation system. And, of course, the different excitation system is what we've been talking about and all the quotes in our brief are about. Unless Your Honors have any question, I'm not sure I have anything more to say that isn't captured in our briefs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
So in filtering, I'd like to direct the Court's attention to column 2, lines 25 to 31, which states, even if some broadband light sources, such as xenon lamps, are sometimes used for excitation filters are often used, which allow a selected band of light energy to pass through and excite the sample by blocking the other wavelengths, especially those in the emission spectrum. So this is talking about broadband light sources that output a spectrum of white light and the use of filters. And those are common in the industry. And
is that talking about the prior art?
It's talking about what was known in the art. So what the specification is clear on.
A couple sentences later, it says these drawbacks in conventional fluorescence measurements have not only reduced the detection speed and sensitivity, but have also limited the selection of detectable fluorescent markers, period, end quote.
It does, but I guess my point is why filters are not required it does not exclude the use of filters, and in fact recognized they were commonly used in the art. I mean, next, I would like to return to Ito, because I think I disagree about the interpretation of Ito. The examiner cited figure 2 in the rejection. Figure 2 does perform excitation with one wavelength at a time, and that's clear if you read about the... figure 2 has a wavelength selected device 27. Paragraphs 30 through 45 of Ito are discussing three modes that can be implemented. For brevity, I direct the court to paragraphs 42 through 45 of Ito, which summarize the benefits of those modes. Paragraph 43 talks about, quote, testing possible excitation wavelengths consecutively. That is one at a time. Paragraph 44 simply says the system is, quote, selecting the excitation wavelengths of the fluorescent substance consecutively so that each fluorescent substance is excited separately.
Okay. Final thought? Because your clock has run out.
So I do think in order to limit the claims of the file history, there should be a finding of disclaimer of clear and unambiguous.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank both sides of the cases.